Anything you missed from today's Big Breakfast is in the Catch Up podcast on the Listener app. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Pick up a fragrance for a loved one this Christmas from Chemist Warehouse, the real house of fragrance.
Breakfast. Weekdays from 5:30.
Marto and Margo, you can catch up anytime. If you miss a show, and I know you're doing that right now, go to the Listener app, download it, and listen anywhere, anytime to the Big Breakfast
anywhere,
with these guys.
Anytime.
Yeah, started with ants early this morning. There was a bit of La Nina talk. There was weather. Then there was soap in mouths, discipline for kids. There was all sorts of things.
Oh, my gosh. What a show. Why wouldn't you listen?
The show was like the Brisbane River of comedy and current affairs,
yeah,
wasn't it?
A snake?
No, just serpentine.
Ebbing and flowing.
Well, no, just moving from direction, you know, changing direction.
Not sure I'm familiar with that analogy. Okay,
I won't pull that analogy out again. Listen.
Well, that's it. Here it is, the Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast at Triple M.
Marto, you and I have very vaguely watched that new show, new reality TV show. It's a parenting experiment, let's call it. Parental guidance on Channel 9. And last night they were talking about a different set of parents. They're exploring all the different avenues of how to parent. There's the routine, there's the free range kids, there's the strict parents, and then there's the routine parents, these ones.
We're disciplined with our boys because we want to, one, prepare them for the real world, but also we want our children to maybe make a change to, you know, to be the good in the world.
Yeah. Boring! Boring parents!
Boring. Well, they all talk about how they deal with consequences and how they discipline their children. Mm. And, you know, kids need discipline and they need consequences to know if their behaviour is right or wrong.
I think if there's anything that we stick to in our house, it is that when you say there's going to be a consequence, you actually have to follow through with it.
We all know that empty threats, kids find you out pretty quickly. And if you say you're going to do something and you don't follow it up, then they, you know, push the boundaries. And
so any parent that says to their kid, I'm going to kill you if you don't eat breakfast, don't follow that one through.
No, right, don't follow that through. If I say I'm going to flog you into next week, I'm not quite sure what that means.
But your mum
I know it's not possible.
A lot of people's mums used to say it all the time.
Don't say that one.
But you're right about the consequences.
Yeah, consequences. Yeah. And they prove that there are consequences for your actions. And this is what it is.
If they use their words incorrectly, if they're swearing or using abusive or rude language, then an obvious consequence for that would be we actually do put a bit of soap on their toothbrush and brush their teeth with soap.
The old soap
are we
on
in the
mid-1800s?
Have we just arrived here in Australia off a convict ship?
Oh, like, what is the soap on the toothbrush? I mean, I used to hear your nan say, if you say that again, I'll wash your mouth out with soap.
Did that ever happen? My parents said it never happened to them.
Well, I know a few people that has
that, it that
has happened
to.
But I reckon this is like a new modern take on the old wash your mouth out with soap. Brush your teeth with soap.
God. Yeah.
It's an unusual concept, isn't it?
It's unbelievable.
And I mean, we have done this before,
Marto.
Weird
things your
parents did. Weird things your parents did.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty weird thing, putting soap on your kids' toothbrush.
Do it on the show?
That's what they did on the show, and they made their kids brush their teeth with soap.
I've always been interested. Do bubbles come out of your mouth?
Well, I don't know. Let's find out. 133353. I mean, it is a weird thing that your parent did. But did you ever cop a cake of soap in the mouth? I never had it done to me, personally. My mum was more of a free-range parenting style mother. Mm. But did you cop a cake of soap in the mouth as a punishment? Weird things your parents did to punish you as kids.
Did your parents ever say, if you do that one more time and they carried through with it, you're getting out of the car?
I made a Corey's growing up childhood friend. He remembers going over to their house and then the boy getting in trouble and having to stand out in the yard scarecrow style with his arms out in the air like a cross.
Oh, Jesus, at Easter time.
Standing there. And if his arms dropped at any point, dad would go out, get your arms up, and the timer would restart.
That's right. You ready? 133353.
Okay.
Weird punishments. Adrian from Mount Gravatt, did you ever, what was the weird punishment?
No, well, my sister copped the soap in the mouth for swearing, but I was downstairs mucking around on my skateboard or something, and she came down and started drinking out of the hose, washing her mouth out with the hose downstairs.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I went upstairs and said to my mum, I said, how come she's down there drinking from the hose? And so mum came down and got her and she copped it again.
Oh, no! Adrian, double soaping.
How long did you have to leave the soap in around your house?
Oh, it never happened to me.
I know.
But And it was the first and last, or I suppose first and second time it happened to her. But
any bubble?
Where did it stem from, plenty. The old cake of I'll wash your mouth out
with soap? Well, because dirty stuff.
Dirty language.
Dirty stuff came out of your mouth. Did bubbles come out, Adrian? That's what I wanted to know.
Oh, yeah. It was like when you put the soap in the fountain at King George Square, if you ever did that when you were a kid.
Sure did.
Hey,
it was great. Adrian. All right, Adrian,
Shari.
I like you.
Shari from Thornlands. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, Shari. What happened? Was it you? Did you cop a cake of soap in the mouth?
I probably did, but I can't remember. But I do remember my brother, my younger brother. He was probably 10, maybe, went through the swearing stage at school as they do.
Yep.
My mum did it every single day for a week.
Shari, can I ask, did she give him a warning at least going, listen, that's
bad. You do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. He knew, and it was almost like a battle of wills, I think.
Righto.
Who would break first? So hard.
So Shari, he got it every day for a week. Did that then eventually deter him?
Yeah, he stopped, and he's not a big swearer even to this day. Never been, so it's obviously stuck.
He's got PTSD. That's why.
Shari, how did she do it? Did she do like a toothbrush on the bar and then put it in his mouth, or did he have to take a bite of soap? How does it happen?
No, we had the pump stuff. We've always really had pump stuff. So it was literally on the fingers and straight in.
Fascinating method of torture. Now, did he swallow the soap or did bubbles come out?
No. He was allowed to spit it out, but I mean, you still got the taste, right?
Yeah.
So I think it was more the, and that lingered. So he went to school with this soapy taste in his mouth. So,
Shari, how about we wash the memories of the soap away from your mind with a margarita at Margot's with Margaritas?
Oh, that will be amazing. Thank you so much.
At the end of next week, maybe.
Yeah, end of next week, we can swap out that taste of soap for a little bit of tequila.
She didn't have any soap. It was a brother. John, good to see you, Shari. John from Caboolture, is it a soap story again?
Yeah, mate.
What happened?
I used to be a little bit of a rat bag, and parents used to rub it into my teeth.
Oh, Jesus!
And one day I thought, being cheeky as I am, I'm going to take a big chunk out of it and teach them a lesson.
Teach them a lesson.
I'll
eat all your soap.
What brand of soap, John, do you remember? Because my husband, he remembers that it was Sunlight.
That was the yellow one.
Do you remember
it?
What yours was?
I remember it was green, but I don't remember the brand.
How did that go?
My father used to work at a wrecking yard, and he actually turned around and afterwards he goes, all right, well, grab this one and chomp on that, and he gave me the Solvol.
The Solvol!
Sand in it.
Learn my lesson.
Hey, you're a big swearer these days, John. Did it teach you a lesson?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Pulled up pretty quick.
John, what about this one? Janelle from Daisy Hill, she rang through. We can't get to her. She said at boarding school they used to put chili on the toothpaste.
How good are parents?
Steve got his mouth washed out with soap by his neighbour.
Just anyone walking by. Come here, kid.
Rock's greatest hits at 104.5 Triple M. There's U2, Everlasting Love. Margaritas with Margot is on again. Had a big event last Friday, still a few sore heads. There's another one coming up and another chance to win your way in soon. Corey's going around the house, stock is Margo's busy, parking
orders, time for at home with Parkers. Mardo. We've been talking about it for weeks and weeks and weeks, and we've been reading the ads for Stan because yesterday was the day. It was the day that Yellowstone... new season of
People
Yellowstone.
People have been waiting months for this.
Hit our streaming service, Stan. And I was so excited. I mean, you're
Don't
so excited.
It.
You've got two sets
it.
Of pajamas. So excited type thing.
But they're not my
Did
pajamas.
You
my wife
sit
has
together
two
in your matching PJs last night.
Oh, that's cute.
Yellowstone.
I don't
Isn't that so
listen,
sweet?
That's very cute.
Sweet.
Let's put an end to these rumors.
Let's take a Kath little tour behind the scenes. Mardo and Kat sit and watch Yellowstone together in their matching PJs.
Let's change the tone here. Kath has two pairs of Yellowstone because she accidentally ordered two online. Neither of them fit me, but she loves it. She thinks she's best.
Well, I don't have a pair of Yellowstone pajamas.
Right.
Is
that what you want?
Like Kath, love Beth because last night she came back on our screen, Dutton. All the Duttons came back.
Don't spoil it. I haven't watched it.
We all know that they're coming back. There's a fierce rivalry between the ranchers, Marto. And I settled on into my bed. I had my jammies on. I put the kids down.
That's big.
Corey and I were like, we've got a date night with Yellowstone tonight. This is it. Are you ready?
That's nice. Good one.
We sat down.
We're going to do this on the weekend.
We made a cup of tea.
Oh, that's nice. Don't spoil it.
Had some scorched almonds.
Don't spoil
it. We hopped into bed and we were like, 2 minutes in to the first episode of season four.
Yeah.
And you know that really annoying
Did Rip shoot him?
No, just stop. No spoilers. That annoying little spinning wheel.
Oh, the thinking wheel.
Came up. Not, and I was like, what? What did you press? Get off the remote. What did you touch?
Was it buffering?
He said it wasn't me. I didn't touch anything. I said, what's happened? He says, buffering. Just wait a second.
Did you not pay
waiting,
your bill?
Waiting. Disconnected to the Wi-Fi. Reconnect. Would you like to refresh? I thought, what is happening here?
Oh,
like, it was the most intense 2 minutes of television ever, Marto.
Yeah.
My palms were sweaty. I was clutching my doona. I was sheet up under the eyes.
Don't you spoil it.
What is happening? And then the Wi-Fi, the data. The kids have used all the data on our
Wi-Fi. What?
He managed to refresh it.
Is that what?
He managed to refresh it and we got started again.
Oh.
And it took us back to the beginning minutes.
Yeah.
And we watched the same 2 minutes again.
Yeah.
Buffering, the data wheels coming around and around and around. You've disconnected from the Wi-Fi. You have to refresh. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to kill someone here.
This is how people foster out their children.
Ruthless. Give me that shotgun. I'm going.
You kids, get down to the local foster agency. We've had enough of you.
The data. Corey had to get onto the Telstra app to check how much we use.
No.
I was like, those little buggers. And I gave them back their iPads a couple of weeks ago. It's been nothing but hell.
TikTok-y.
And now they're creeping. TikTok-y. Now they're creeping into my Yellowstone viewing, and I can't cop it because all my girlfriends are on the group chat.
Oh, you don't know what's happening.
I'm like, stop. I can't see. I don't know what's happening. Oh. It's buffering. Just give me a minute.
All right. I know I shouldn't do this. You can come over on Saturday night
can
and wear one of the pairs of the pajamas and watch it with cats. How does that?
It's a lovely offer, thank you. However, we did manage to get the data working.
Oh, good.
And I watched two episodes, so I'll tell you what happens off
air. Don't spoil it.
So you can wear your own jammies.
Yeah. Okay.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Hey, you can catch up with KO Minis. It's last night's cricket action, the ICC T20 Cricket World Cup. It's condensed match highlights. If you're new to KO, you can start your free trial today, Marto.
It's the way to do it when you haven't got time even for a T20 game. Get into it. Hey, Margo, remember yesterday we were talking about the dreaded skin folds because the Broncos started back first day of
training. Back at pre-season training.
And your husband's the same as me. When they used to come at you with those calipers and they'd be reaching for your love handles and you'd go,
your skin.
Geez, I had a lot of KFC over the summer and you go, I know what's going to happen here. Next thing you know, you end up in the fat club.
Yeah, you always used to come home and go, I'm still in the 50s, babe, the 50 club. They'd measure the bicep.
Oh, the bicep.
50 centimetres club. And then your pinch test had to be under like 10 or 11 or something.
Oh, they used to do our love handles back in our day. Wicked.
But
anyway.
They take bits and pieces from all over. You're like,
they do your
calves,
they do your thigh,
they do your belly, they do your bum, they do your bicep.
All right. Well, the big news. The AFL has made the decision to ban pre-draft because the draft's coming up. All the young kiddies coming through in the next few weeks on November 24 and 5. They're not allowed to do skin folds anymore. Oh, the Australian Institute of Sport got involved and they said, oh, no, that's mean and nasty.
Body shaming.
Yeah, fat shaming. We love fat shaming. What, are we a nanny state? AFL has made an art form out of singing the team song and putting a finger up your mate's ass. Like, this is what AFL's about. If we can't fat shame, then we can't. What else do they love? They love snorting cocaine occasionally. Oh, you better play them. Play down the Lion song.
Not the Lion.
I'm just saying. So what's going to happen now if we don't know, like, if the... Does this mean there's going to be more fat kiddies in the game of AFL because they're going to avoid the skin fold test and they're going to sneak into the system? And next thing you know, you've got what everybody's favourite thing in sport is, a fat kiddie running fast. That's what I want to see more of in AFL. There's too many skinny kids, so maybe I agree with this. Throw out the skin fold test and let the fatties come on in because they still got a place in the game. They stand out at full forward or full back and just push people around because they're heavier than these skinny little idiots that are running around. I don't know if I believe in any of that. But I do love watching fat people run fast. You know that.
Bring back Stewie Dew.
Stewie Dew, the coach of the Gold Coast. He loves fatties.
Marto's thought on sport.
Thank you, Margo.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
There's a whisper that Scotty Morrison, our Prime Minister, is going to jump up today and deliver a big announcement about electric cars and all the rest of it. He wants to have 1.7 million electric cars on the road by 2030. That's 9 years. And Margo, he's got to accelerate the rollout of charging and hydrogen refueling stations across the country. So they're up in the ante. They're bloody keen to get these Teslas and all the rest of them on the road.
I mean, Marto, I've always said from the outset, I do love a good V8. I know it's probably not.
It's just a throb.
Oh, isn't it? The sound, yeah. The gurgle of the engine underneath the bonnet.
At work.
When I sit in under the car park just for an extra couple of minutes just to listen to the echo of the Mustang.
It's incredible.
The Land Cruiser. Well,
we're
just
both V8 drivers. We're going to be the real losers.
You can't replace that. There's no replacing that with anything.
About a soundtrack? That if they want to put you in electric vehicles, they want to give you a rumbler
radio.
That is a
it's
great
gonna
idea.
It's
going to
be a startup soundtrack.
Yeah. And then when you hit the accelerator.
It's not quite the same. But I told you from the outset I wasn't going to get on board just purely for the fact of the sound of and the feeling of driving a V8. This hasn't, helped because
You got me. You were talking Teslas. Are you going to talk Teslas here?
I'm going to talk Teslas.
Because I've started seeing them myself.
They're everywhere.
As soon as you start talking about a car, there's one, little T thing.
I never seen a Mustang before and then I bought one and now everybody's everywhere. Got one. Yeah. But a Tesla has trapped motorists in a shopping centre car park after the vehicle ran out of battery. At the worst possible time.
Wait. Tesla. Blocked everyone, the Tesla.
Five-story Westfield car park after motorists got stuck behind him for 3 hours, Marto. The only reason I'm stuck at a Westfield for 3 hours is not because my Tesla's gone flat. It's because I'm upstairs shopping all the sales.
Yeah.
Stuff that.
625.
Another reason not to buy a Tesla.
Is that
flat,
it?
Flat batteries.
Triple M.
I think we all know, we've heard stories about global supply chain difficulties and problems along the network of global supply. Have you been hearing all these stories about there's no microchips?
Most definitely.
Like there's 3,000, they reckon there's 3,000 semiconductor chips go into a new car because of all the technology, etc. That's why there's no new cars, because there's no semiconductor chips around, there's no microchips around.
I hear you say yesterday, Marto, there's no rubber?
There's a shortage,
of rubber.
There's a world shortage
of silicon.
Hold on, I wrote the list out.
My girlfriend can't get trusses at the moment. She's trying to build a house.
We've spoken about the timber shortage, the paper, food, textiles, toys, iPhone chips. You'll be flat out to get an iPhone to put under the tree for Christmas time. Clothes, pet food. There's all these things.
Doors for big American trucks. Mate of ours got reversed into in his Dodge Ram. He can't get a door. He needs a whole new door. Can't get one. Six-month wait.
I'm happy with that. Now, 5G, in terms of the semiconductor chips, etc., 5G didn't help. Before the pandemic, the pandemic's gone crazy because there's so many people working from home, so they needed to upgrade their computers. It goes round and round and round, the whole bloody thing. But, all right, so new cars, we all know new cars are in short supply. That's why used cars are worth a bundle at the moment.
Lots.
But then I see that's the global problem, and that is going to keep on. Everything's taking longer to get. Did you see the article in the paper? Mechanics are being forced to turn away customers due to a perfect storm of high demand, lack of skilled staff, and a shortage of car parts, putting the industry in neutral. Shortage of 16,000 skilled staff, as you know, in mechanics, etc. And also, they just can't get parts in from anywhere. Previously, things that have, this guy's saying, 200 in stock, zero. You've got to wait 2 weeks to get them. Jeez. They're going, if you want to book a car service, you've got to wait at least 2 weeks at the moment. Some places, 3 months.
So wow.
Your car breaks down right now and you don't have somebody who you're closely associated with, you're in a fair bit of trouble.
I just booked my car in, Marto, yesterday, 5 weeks.
Yeah, but...
Really? 5 week wait. Yeah.
All right. But you're with a dealer because you've got a newish car. That thing's within a year old.
Yeah.
All right. Can I turn it around? And we know the big stuff's happening, and I'm just telling you about the mechanics and stuff. I just want to get a feel for what's on the ground. We bring it down to our local level. Okay. What can't you get? And you can tell me whether you reckon it's part of a worldwide problem or it's just a domestic one. What can't you get? What industry are you in? I know people are saying timber, of course. Mm. Frames are difficult. That's the industry that I know. But there's industries, glass. Like if we're saying silicon's in short supply, is it tough to get glass? Is it tough to get tyres? I don't know. Tell us, what's going on at the local level? What can't you get? 133353.
This sounds like a
CSI.
Thank
model.
You. Pose the question. You help us solve the case. What can you get shoes?
Hopefully hairdressers can still get hair colour.
Well, maybe they can't. There may be an ingredient. The problem is we're putting things together. No, just give us a ring. You know what we want. 133353.
Mark from Sunnybank, what is it that you're waiting for or can't get a hold of?
Oh, water fittings and brass fittings for our local government supplies.
Do you mean water meters, you know, for the handles for the water meters?
Oh, everything, like the, your normal water meter for your household and yeah. All your brass fittings. I got an email this morning, 12 to 15 week delay.
All right, so we're talking about, let's say you're a builder, a new estate down there, there's houses, there's heaps of new houses. You want to put the water meters in, but you haven't got the gear.
That's correct, yeah. We can't get a hold of any supplier who's got any in stock at the moment.
What's the answer,
what do you
Mark?
Do, yeah.
Free water.
Well, you just have to wait until they come in.
Well, no. What about free water?
Well, we'd love to do that, won't we?
Yeah. Why not?
So 15-week wait, Jesus. Mark. So therefore...
Where are they coming from?
New builds have got to then be pushed back as well. People have got to...
So therefore, yeah, that's ramification. Is the builder won't finish by the assigned date, is that his fault or he blames you?
Well, practically, yes. And we know there's shortages since the pandemic.
133353. We're talking about local. What can't you get? And it's very local and we hadn't thought about Mark's.
Richard from Tweed Heads. What is it in your industry that you can't get a hold of?
Oh, steel roofing. Anything to do with steel, anything from Bluescape, just pushed out weeks and weeks and months.
Okay, let's say you've quoted, you must be a roofer or you're either a builder or a roofer. You've quoted to do a roof. You've told them I'll be right to start next 3 weeks' time. You're now saying that's pushed out to what, 10 weeks?
Oh, no, 3 months sometimes later.
Right, yeah, 3 months. And do you keep on getting those emails going every month or so it's increasing by 12% the price of steel?
Yeah, that's right. It's gone up probably 60%, 70% in the last couple of months.
All right, Richard, how are you quoting on anything then? Are you just telling people it's all cost plus because I can't trust the industry?
So I get my little girl to get some bingo balls and throw them in the air.
Right. You mate, hey, Richard, we're talking about everyone's busy as, but it's no one's making any money. What are you saying?
Yeah, I think because of the quoting situation and because we're supplying a lot of guys that, as you know, beyond liquidated damages, those poor bastards, I don't know how they get on. You know, you want to do a job and you push down 12 or 18 months and then what price do you go in at?
Yes, we'll
have a clue.
Mm. Doesn't seem to be discriminating against any sort of industry. It seems to be across the board.
Everywhere.
Kate from Manly West, good morning.
Morning. How you going, guys?
What business are you in?
Oh, Brumby's Bakeries. The people don't want to do baking anymore because everyone's gone back to the bakeries rather than buying the pre-made bread at supermarkets. But now we've got a shortage on bakers.
Oh.
So we've got a trade shortage.
We've got an employment shortage.
Yeah.
How hard is baking? Can you just get anyone to do it?
Oh, you could go to TAFE and do a trade. So it's actually really fun to do when you go in the back of house and actually make bread. Really exciting, but
it smells good.
I guess you've got the hours. Oh, it smells amazing. But the hours, I guess you got your early start. So we're working on options so that you've got, you know, two bakes during a day. So you've got your overnight ones and then you've got your people baking fresh during the day. But because you're making everything from scratch and everything's made daily, we just need more bakers.
Where are you, Kate? Which shop?
Brumby's Bakeries.
So we're talking more about materials. You're right for materials and parts for your machines.
Yeah, so they're all fine. It's actually
the
human. Yeah,
employment.
The hands. Mm. Employment.
Incredible.
We could do this all morning by the looks of the calls.
Yeah, Brandon from 8 Mile Plains. He's a tiler. He's struggling with supplies. Claire from Thornland, she works in a mechanic workshop.
What's that?
Can't get any parts.
Yeah,
Jesus. Seems to be not discriminative of any industry in particular, Marto. What's the solution to the problem?
Don't be too greedy. It sounds like there's a lot of things you're not going to get. Christmas presents. They're talking about toys and all that sort of stuff. There's going to be disappointment all over. Everyone's going to have to show patience. Mm.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Marto, I wanted to raise something with you because I feel like there would be these types of jobs around, but I'm just not familiar with them because, you know, your standard jobs, there's truck drivers, there's carpenters, there's school teachers, there's admin workers. Right. Have you ever heard of one of these?
I'm called the nose of Nissan.
The nose of Nissan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How long have you been smelling cars?
About 4 years. In the automotive industry, this is a big part of it. In every region, there's a nose of Nissan, but in Japan, it's called the Smellmeister, which I'm a little bit jealous about.
A Smellmeister Nissan, they're saying. It's obviously
a paid job.
It's an American show. It's Ellen, you know, Ellen DeGeneres. Yeah. She had this girl on her show, and she was interviewing her about her job, which was a little bit unusual.
So not just a weirdo that likes to smell a car.
Not just a weirdo that likes to smell a car. She gets paid by Nissan. Apparently every Nissan dealership in America. I'm not sure if this is a thing here. 133353, if you know about it, let us know. But she sits... Well, let her tell you what she does.
Yeah, so we go in and we sit where the passengers would sit, you know, driver's seat, back seat, and we smell everything that they would be able to smell. So, you know, the steering wheel, the sun visor, the console, and we make sure that all of those have a good new car smell for the customer.
Joe Biden. Oh, is that you, Joe? Come on, mate.
Farting again. But could you imagine that job?
How much did she get paid, did they say?
I don't know. They had little video clips of her behind her on the TV screen of her just... Sniffing the center console.
That's weird.
Sniffing the rear view mirror, the flap that you pull down. What's it called? The sun visor. I've heard just sniffing stuff. Imagine that as your job, just sitting in that new car.
That is the weirdest I've ever heard.
You know, the new car smell. You go, oh, it smells new. You know, that smell, she's responsible for that.
What happens? Did she say someone else in Japan has a mob
Smellmeister.
Smell
that's so what they called it.
It must be every car company. What happens if she goes, that's a little bit off? What do they do?
Well, they have to make sure. Yeah, they have to make sure that all the leathers, because all the different types of leathers, the seat has different leather to the
dashboard.
So they have to make sure that all the leathers are cohesive in smelling, and they have different treatments for the leathers.
Because, it must annoy her when she gets in a taxi.
You know, leather doesn't actually smell naturally. They treat it, and the way it is treated is therefore then the smell that
you're giving away a few secrets. I didn't know that.
So anyway, 133353.
What do you want
to know? What weird job do you have? Because, I mean, we hear about all the normal boring ones.
They're not boring ones,
but you know what I mean? The more traditional
mainstream
here's
jobs.
Something we prepared earlier.
What is a weird job? What is your weird job?
Now, listen, down here at Kangaroo Point, you know where they hire the kayaks and they do the cliff abseiling and everything. There's a bloke there who takes Segway tours, like he's the Segway tour guide. Is that weird?
A little bit, I guess so.
What about the blokes that clean the windows? I'm looking at them here now.
That's scary.
High-rise building.
That's not weird.
Window
cleaner. That's just scary. That's high risk.
What about the people who get ready for the artificial insemination for horses and the mares, where the person that gets
what are they called? They're called something.
Fluffers, maybe.
A
fluffer. That's weird.
They get horses
133353. I want to hear what is your job that is a little bit
odd,
strange. It's a little bit out of the norm. What's your weird job?
133353. Mm. How about prizes for our favourite callers this morning? Up for that?
What about armourers in movies? You know the people that hand guns to the actors?
Well, when you get it wrong, it's not a good job, isn't it?
Yeah. For some.
You know, if you're a teacher or you're an admin assistant or a doctor, that's a normal job. Hey. What do you do that's a little bit weird, Curd from Bellbird Park?
Curdy.
Oh, g'day. I'm a scare actor.
What do you mean? In the House of Horrors or something?
Yes, in the House of Horrors. Horror attractions in film and television and stuff like that.
Kurt, did you see the one that was just down on the Gold Coast recently there at Night Quarter at Helens Vale? Were you a part of that gig?
Not that one. No, I'm working in one in Fortitude Valley called Evil Corp.
Oh.
Kurt, how do you pivot into this? Have you got a pretty ordinary melon on you?
I've got a certain look.
A certain look. Yes, you're right.
Great. You would wear makeup and a costume, yep. and you just Wig. Get pleasure out of scaring people.
Oh, it's great fun. It's a great adrenaline rush.
How did you fall into
just
it?
Just give us one. There's some people not quite awake in their car. Just pretend we come around the corner and give us your verbal scare.
Oh my God.
It just happened.
That's the best.
Kurt.
That's the best.
I need to know more. Kurt, how did you get into this? How did this become a thing?
Zombie walk. Back in, what was it, 2011?
I remember that. You went over to Vic Park, all the zombies.
Yeah. And then I found out there was Movie World. I've been working there for about 7 or 8 years.
Okay. Wow. You're very interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it? Cool. Okay. That's
next weird job.
Billy from the Sunny Coast, hello.
I'm very well, yourself?
Yeah, good, mate. Have you got one of these jobs that's a little bit out of the norm?
So I play with digital matchbox cars to make sure that existing and proposed intersections work properly.
Hold on. You're like a road designer, road planner or something?
Correct. Well, I'm an intersection modeler. So I take existing intersections.
Yes.
And I use digital vehicles and just drag them along existing intersections to make sure that they work and they don't hit... light posts and power poles.
Room for trucks especially.
Correct. So we use design vehicles, which are typically 19 metres for main roads, and use them for check vehicles for B-doubles. And we've got dog and trailers. We've got...
So if you've got little models, little model trucks,
like
do you
cars.
Make little noises?
You know that kid with the mat? Like my Jagger, he had one of those car floor mats, you know, with all the intersections and the stop-and-go signs, and he used to drive his little matchbox cars. That's what Billy does.
Billy's incredible.
Billy never grew up.
Oh, here's one. Justin from Burpengary. Hi, Just.
Hey, how's it going?
What do you do?
Once upon a time, with labour hire, used to shovel jellyfish on an oil tanker.
Hang on a second. Did you say used to shovel jellyfish on an oil tanker?
Yes.
My gosh.
Let's go through it. How did they get onto the oil tanker and why did you have to shovel them?
Well, when I was when the ship was docked in a site creek thing, there was a pot of jellyfish that just basically wouldn't leave the creek. So it was my job with a team to actually go in and double jellyfish out and throw them back overboard.
Wow, that's interesting.
One for the resume.
How much does that pay?
One 12-hour shift got me $700.
Jesus,
money in
that's
jellyfish,
good money. Do you still do it, Justin? What do you do now? Do you have a normal job now or you do something else that's interesting?
I jump back into sales, but I take any offer that comes my way. I've been out the mines.
All right.
Done a director for a not-for-profit in disability. 7 years of professional car audio.
That's ordinary.
That's all ordinary. It's the jellyfish.
Your kid's finishing up at school, doesn't know where they're going next year, shoveling jellyfish.
What about Luke from Narangba, Texas, on the burner phone? He said he worked as a taste tester for Arnott's for 18 months. What about that job? I love a Kingston, Vicky.
Yeah, but for 18.
Shortbread.
Every day. You got to eat
Monte
biscuits.
Carlo.
Eat breakfast. Triple M.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
For nearly 5 years since my kids went to schoolies week, and you've pointed out it's on next Friday week. So everyone's out there trying to pick up their cheap beers, cheap bottles of Spumante and and their Nang supply.
Drinks, what's a Nang?
Yeah, those nitrous oxide cylinders, they suck on them, don't they?
This is young person's.
No, I'm saying this is what they're
drink
up to.
Drink responsibly,
all right,
ladies
and
gentlemen.
All right, if you're doubting whether they do all this sort of stuff, I don't know if you even know if it's on at the Gold Coast where they're gathering for their schoolies, but the cops yesterday, they reckon they're onto it.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of cocaine destined for schoolies has been taken off the streets as part of a major cross-border operation.
What schoolies are taking a cocaine? Like, what they've pulled over the vehicle, is there a plastic bag that says schoolies on it and there's one that says overpaid stockbrokers? Or what's the story? What schoolie is going, I've got enough money for coke?
Highly motivated real estate agents.
Children, yes, exactly. Unfortunate.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
No showers today, but come Thursday, we're going to get 20 to 40 mils with some storms around. It's going to be wild ones.
Just on that, in terms of bigger picture, they reckon the Bureau of Meteorology at some stage this week, later this week, is going to declare La Nina. You know what La Nina is?
And?
Well, that means
isn't
it's going
to
be...
Isn't that where we get a bucket load of rain?
Break into dance there, Marta.
La Nina.
La Nina, where's your maracas?
Anyway, because we keep on saying it's going to be wet the next 6 months, right? So that's the Bureau, but I'll tell you the
it's
bloke...
It's always wet this time, though, isn't it?
No, not like always.
Like, we go down the caravan park for Christmas at 5 weeks, and
always.
It rains for 4 of the 5 weeks.
Last year was moist, but the year before, of course, was the bushfire year. It was dry out. And that was an El Nino! Actually, let's stop with these silly Mexican terms and talk to this bloke. This guy, the guy I'm about to introduce you, he is the man that predicted the 2011 floods.
Oh,
his father predicted the 1974 floods and the cyclone that preceded.
Psychic.
Because they look at... Oh, I'll let him explain. His old man's name's Lennox Walker. Legend as I was growing up.
I remember Lennox Walker.
In southeast Queensland. They knew they can predict the weather. And here he is, Hayden Walker, long-range weather forecaster. Hello and welcome back to the Big Breakfast, mate.
G'day, Marto. How are you, Marto?
Hayden, I'm well. What the...
That's the way.
God's earth is Marto talking about? He's just yelling La Nino and La Nina at us.
No, El Nino and La Nina.
Well, I'm talking about La Sunspoto.
Yes, exactly. That's what these guys have always looked at. Solar flares and stuff, don't you?
Okay.
That's right. So whatever happens on the sun... Well, whatever happens on the sun's surface has a direct bearing on our weather conditions. So in the last 2 to 3 years, we've seen some pretty dormant periods in relation to weather conditions, and therefore the sun has been dormant. Now it's waking up into its new solar cycle 25, number 25, and it starts to move along. So once we see the sun awakening, we see that the fact is we get extreme conditions in our weather.
Was there a major solar flare got let off about last Thursday or something, did I see?
Yes, correct. There's been a few, actually. Mm. But
are you sure that wasn't just a
Bodie
stuck out in Moreton Bay somewhere?
No. Explain, everyone. Like,
So what happens is sunspots. Sunspots are quite huge on the sun's surface. So the energy needs to come out of the sun, and it comes out into sunspot activity. So when the sunspot erupts, which can be anywhere between 200,000 and 600,000 kilometres in diameter of sunspot, when it erupts, we get the solar wind, and the solar wind heads straight for the Earth's atmosphere, wraps itself round, and tucks its head down into the North Pole, and it reacts with the magnetic field from the sun in the Earth. So
how long does that take to get from the sun to the Earth?
A few hours.
Righto.
It can travel 600, 700 kilometres per second. So it's quite heavy duty when it comes in. So when we see these large sunspots emitting this magnetic field, it affects our magnetic field. Hence, we get the build-up of storm activity. And when we're starting to see low-pressure systems like cyclones and so forth developing, we find that if there's a sunspot eruption, that will fuel the cyclone. So it'll go from a Category 1, and when that fuels it, it'll go to Category 5.
So I'm 2 weeks away from school holidays, as are most families planning for their Christmas and school holiday break.
Is that all?
What my kids have got 9 days of school left, Marta. It's incredible. Yeah. Hayden, tell me, how should we be taking this into our plans? How does this affect people on the ground?
Yep, okay. So what happens is, like, as we've seen in October, we've had some pretty severe storm activity, and that's been fueled by the sun. So in November and also in December, the same circumstances are going to happen, and then it'll eventually switch up to the north. But in the next in December, we'll certainly see further storm activity, what we've seen in October. So it's a rerun of what's happened through October. So
you're saying not the big floods that we had in 74 and 2011. You're saying more localised major storms.
That's right, yes, with some localised flooding to the southeast. But mainly the wet season will be in the north, and it'll be right across the top end. So it'll go over into Western Australia, Northern Territory, and we'll see that happening. It'll start to turn late November, beginning of December for the north, and then it'll start to build for December, and then January and February is quite heavy, especially February.
Wow. You got all that?
I got all that.
Do you use the same terms as the bomb, like La Nina, El Nino? Or
No.
I can remember your old man talking to me years ago. You're going off the sun for nearly everything, aren't you?
That's right. Whatever happens on that sun, we react to. So if they go into a dormant period, the sun, we go into drought conditions. When the sun wakens, we get extreme weather conditions, and that's what we've been seeing. And as you said, you saw that that blast off from the sun last Thursday. Well, that has the impact. That's what fuels it, and that's what keeps things moving. So it's really the positive and negative ions coming through into our atmosphere, and it builds. And as I say, when you've got a trough coming through or a front coming through from Western Australia, and next thing we have an eruption from the sun or the sunspots, that will fuel those conditions, and that will get, that's where you get the severity. That's when it increases. If the trough just came through without a sunspot intensity, it'll just be normal. That's fine. It's not a big issue. But when that sun, it wakens, and when those sunspots emit that solar radiation or magnetic field, that fuels it. And that's where the severity comes in. Just like the New South Wales floods, just like, you know, anything that we've seen before. So it's fascinating that it only takes the click of a finger before it turns.
Hayden Walker, incredible. I love you. You know that. HaydenWalkersWeather.com.au if you want to know more. It's about, he is one step ahead of the Bureau of Meteorology. You're a champion. Thanks, mate.
Good on, Marto.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo, waking you up weekdays on Triple M.
Hey, just in case you didn't hear, Triple M is calling the Ashes this year. Triple M welcomes back the summer of cricket. How's this? You could be at day one of the Vodafone Ashes test at the Gabba with three mates. If you want to win that,
what?
Download the Listener app and search for Triple M Cricket. All the details are there, Marto.
Incredible.
Tear to my eye. I've got to look forward to that. A week it's been since the Melbourne Cup, Margo, and there's a few problems that have emerged from the whole business.
Dear.
Now, this is from, we know that Very Elegant beat our horse Incentivise, and there was one man who owned both horses, Bray Solkowski or Solkowski. I think he owned 50% of Incentivise and some of Very Elegant. He made a lot of money on the day. Okay, so that's what this story is about.
Is there a It's Not Fair
No,
moment?
We love rich people on this show. We don't know many, but we'd love just to touch them occasionally.
Animal rights activists.
Okay. No. Well, afterwards, so at 5 p.m. last Tuesday, the owner said, listen, it's on me.
$8 million.
He didn't say it was on me. He said there's a party on at some restaurant called Society in Melbourne. They all took off from Flemington into Society. 100 guests came with him. All right, and let's just cut straight to the story. Three of them have got COVID now.
Oh.
Now, the jockey, James McDonald, he's still trying to ride. He's got to get a negative test every day. He drove back to Sydney the next day, probably with a hangover, I suppose. But the problem becomes there was more than 100 guests, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, how many handles has the Melbourne Cup got, as I told you last week?
Oh, only three.
Well, three, but isn't that perfect? Because if you fill it up with whatever you're drinking, and I figure it'd be French champagne, you fill it up, you've got two handles where you have it. Some other person, oh, give me some of that. There's photos everywhere of people sculling out of the cup.
Sharing.
How do you think you get COVID?
Oh, dear.
I don't care. They'll sort all that out. My part of the story comes in. $100,000 was the bill
for
the party. Dinner. No, it wasn't even. It was a dinner.
For a dinner.
They went there and
$1,000 a head.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, true. $1,000. That's a lot of champagne.
Into 100,000.
Now, I don't know whether this is for sure or not, but I wonder how many people said, I only had the entree.
I just had the pasta.
I didn't have anything to drink, actually.
Marto, Margo, Big Breakfast, Triple M.
You were talking Teslas the other day about down at Cornubia, the Teslas everywhere, and I said to you this morning, I've started noticing them. There are plenty of them, and it's no wonder that Elon Musk is the richest man in the world, the owner of Tesla. The company's worth $1 trillion. Are you the finance expert on the show, Margo?
Oh, I can try and help you.
How many billion? Is that 1,000 billion or is it a billion?
100 million billion.
Yeah, okay, that'll do.
She's not finance minister. I think we've learnt that.
I knew that. I just wanted to see what the answer would be.
Could you imagine if I had $1 trillion?
$1 trillion. You wouldn't have it for long. I know you too well. Now, listen, Elon Musk yesterday on Twitter, and he has millions and millions of
followers.
I didn't even look how many, but 3 million people. When he said, can I get a hand here? 3 million people jumped up and gave him a hand. He said he was going to sell off 10% of his stake in Tesla, which was equal $28 billion.
Yeah.
You understand, billion.
Incredible.
$28 billion, 10% of his stake. So he's got $280 billion.
He only owns 20% of
25,
Tesla.
23%.
20-something percent of Tesla. And that share alone gave him an extra $50 billion in the last financial year.
So he's saying, and a lot of people go, he's on the hoochie-coochie again. He says he's having a bit of a smoke and why would he do this? But 3.2 million
people. He's the richest man in the world. Surpassed Jeff Bezos, who's the second richest man in the world, by $50 billion. He's $50 billion richer than the second richest man.
No, I don't want to get into too deep, but
Jesus.
You don't see that many Teslas.
A lot of money.
You don't see that many Teslas on the road, surely. Like Mr. Toyota, what's he worth? So he ended up, Mr. they Toyota. Said, yes, 58%. So 3.5 million people took the time out of their day to go, I think I'll respond to old Elon Musk
and
I'll say, yes, 58%. He said,
sell it.
Whatever happens, whatever it says, whatever's above 50%, I'll go that way. I'll either won't sell or sell. So he's going to sell 10%.
Is he going to split it up into little shares or just one big large stake of 10%?
Or 10, I don't know. He's just got to sell up to he'll
You're the finance
his,
minister.
He would have rung his broker and he said, sell 10%. As soon as you finish selling 10%, don't sell anymore. That's going to give him $28 billion. And you go, is that why he did it or is this why he did it?
The US has seen an explosion among the mega rich, many of whom pay little or no tax. So Joe Biden wants a new tax targeting America's 700 billionaires.
I got 700 billionaires
Jesus
in America.
You mentioned Mr. Toyota and what's he worth. Does he have a spaceship, Marto?
Not yet.
Could you imagine a V8? Could you imagine a V8 Toyota Land Cruiser spaceship?
No. In these
Can
modern
imagine
days,
that thing starting up?
It'd be a Toyota Corolla spaceship because, how we've got to be. Got to watch your thing. All right, and you go, why did he do it again? Oh, that's right, there was that tax thing.
If that law passes, Elon Musk's personal tax bill will be $15 billion US dollars.
Still got $13 billion change after paying his tax. How good's life? For rich people.
For us, just keep getting richer.
7.
We hate you.
No,
what are you doing listening to this radio station?
Little tax they pay.
Hey?
It's interesting.
Interesting.
The Big Breakfast at Triple M.
Anything you missed from today's Big Breakfast is in the Catch Up podcast on the Listener app. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Pick up a fragrance for a loved one this Christmas from Chemist Warehouse, the real house of fragrance.